Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them, and not necessarily those of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. Good evening and welcome to Spirit Radio. I am your host, Willie Hassel. Along with my co-host, Lynn Nickerson, we will take you on a journey into the unknown, where the paranormal becomes the normal, a journey to a world cloaked in darkness, where reality becomes a thin veil. So sit back, relax, and join us as we venture into the shadows, the darkness, the unknown, and back. Good evening and welcome once again to Spirit Radio, the Paranormal Experience. I am your host, Willie Hassel, your gatekeeper to the dark side, your guide to the realm of the unknown, the unseen, the unthinkable. And hey, she is the always lovely, she is the mystical, she is the mysterious.
I almost forgot.
And she is Lynn Nickerson. How are you doing?
Good evening, Willie. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm liking that tomorrow, but not the rest of the week.
I know.
Sure.
We've been so lucky.
Well, happy Easter.
Yes, you as well.
And happy Easter to everybody.
To our
else.
Audience.
Yeah. So, what do you want to do tonight?
Well, I was thinking, why don't we try and push this big event coming up?
I've heard something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is.
It's pretty intriguing.
There is an event coming up in Kittery, Maine on April 29th, and it is called the New England Parafest 2017. And we have in the studio with us tonight...
Bunches of people.
But we have Tom Spitaleri, who is the director of Essex County Ghost Project, who, along with Spirit Chasers Paranormal, are producing the event this year. Good evening, Tom. Welcome
Good evening,
to the
Lynn and Willie. Thank
Hello,
you for having
Tom.
Me tonight. Oh, and by the way, thank you for helping me produce this great Parafest this year. The phones are ringing
Our
off
pleasure.
The hook. We're very excited this year. And I want to wish a happy Easter. And there's something else I have to say.
What's that?
Been coming on the show at least once a year now for the last couple of years. You know, it's an anniversary. I just realized tonight driving up here, and I used my speed buggy mode to get up here.
Yeah. Oh, did you now?
Yes.
I heard you don't speed at all.
I heard he was doing 46 miles an hour on the highway today.
Oh. Yeah,
that's speed buggy
He's a
for
pace
Tom.
Setter.
Yes, I said pacing, real steady pacing.
The cops must love you. They can't nail you.
Yeah.
So
what's the anniversary?
It seems like with the Parafest and everything going on, this is like the third or fourth year I've been up here on Easter weekend.
Oh, no kidding. You mean on our show?
Yes.
I'll have to review our records.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. You have to mark that down for next Easter or something.
Well, welcome back.
Well, thank you, guys. And
well, I knew
I love
been
coming
here.
Up here. This is a great ride up here, great show. You got some great listeners up here on the Seacoast. So
well, thank you very much.
And you know, I don't
some
know
loyal listeners.
I don't know the exact date, but it's also 3.5 years on the air for Spirit
it
Radio
is.
This month.
Oh, nice!
I don't
Amazing!
Know exactly
Congratulations
what the date is,
on
but,
that one.
Yeah, so hard to believe.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It still is.
Well, yeah, it's still it,
that was
it's
the
been
implication,
and,
conti- right?
and continues to be. Yeah, absolutely.
So what we wanted to talk about tonight is a little bit about Tom's background, the reason for putting on the Parafest, and then we wanted to kind of highlight each of the speakers to give everybody a taste of what they're about and what they're going to present. So Tom, why don't you tell us about Hilldale?
All right. Well, besides being the founder of Essex County Ghost Project, we had spirits in here, I think.
I think so.
There are.
Yeah. Or faulty equipment.
Yes. One of the two. It doesn't matter. But besides being the leader of the Ghost Project, I'm also the president and board of directors of the Hilldale Cemetery Association. The Hilldale Cemetery is located in Haverhill, Massachusetts. It's about 20 acres, and it's not flat. It's very hilly.
It's beautiful.
It's a terminal moraine. It was carved out by the Wisconsin Ice Glacier 10 million years ago when the Wisconsin Ice Glacier receded and carved out what we know today is the Merrimack Valley, the seacoast, okay, and pretty much where we're all living right now. Mm-hmm. And where your listeners are all from. And it's a beautiful old cemetery. It was consecrated in 1859, so just before the Civil War. It was actually the premier cemetery in the Essex County region when it was first built. A lot of Civil War soldiers there.
Right.
My Civil War historian and good friend Joe Bella counted them up. We had about 420 Civil War veterans
and
in
Joe
there.
Is here in the audience today. Hi, Joe.
Joe's in the studio.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
So
and so is Caitlin from the
Essex County
Ghost Project.
Yes. But they did. This was a relatively wealthy cemetery,
yes,
right? And they really did a beautiful job in designing
they
it.
They did.
They have all of these little terraces and hills and dales and maple trees. It's beautiful,
yes,
and there are so many monuments, extravagant monuments.
Correct. But what happened was, from the 1800s to probably the mid-1950s, early 60s, it was kept up well.
Mm-hmm.
Then come down the 1960s, it started sliding downhill. And boy, did it slide downhill. In 2008, I officially took that cemetery over. It had overgrowth. Parts of it looked like a jungle.
Oh, that's a shame.
So since 2008, my small board has been fighting everything you can think of to raise money for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult in Haverhill to get grant money because there's over 40 nonprofits in the city.
Oh, okay.
So the way we decided to raise money was around 2008, I also started the Essex County Ghost Project. And I said, well, let's run some ghost hunts in there. I was with another team before that raised some money for a lot of local historical organizations running ghost hunts. Started working great, raising some money, getting the place cleaned up slow. Because I'd go through a lot of volunteers. Volunteers come.
Oh, well, they work when they have
they
time.
They work when they can.
Yeah.
They were great early on. But you can burn people out because
it's
a lot of work. We're not talking about a flat cemetery like you might see around Portsmouth
right,
or Kittery. It's very hilly.
Yeah.
And there's stones on the side of the hill. So it's not like you can drive a tractor up that hill or you're going to go backwards and do a wheelie. So that has to be done with a weed whacker. So it's slow process. We've also had to cut trees out of there, 3-4-inch tree saplings all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you can only do it a couple times a week. Then you get the heavy rain like we're going to have this week.
Yeah, that's right.
That's going to be fun.
Got to put you back a little bit.
And it puts you back. And,
yeah,
you know, a couple of years ago we had that heavy winter. It put us back all the way to June before we could straighten
things
out.
A lot of places lost trees, so there were the remnants of trees. But is this a privately owned?
This is a privately owned cemetery. So we get no help from the city, no help from the government, no help from anybody.
Would there be any possibility of the town taking it over or the city of Haverhill taking it over?
No.
Okay.
No. The state law in Massachusetts, they tried that.
Well, I was going to say, what happens if you can't manage to keep it up?
The way the state law is written in Massachusetts, the cemetery has to be 100 years old.
Okay.
Less than 100 years old.
Less than 100.
Yep.
Okay.
1859 to 2017 automatically wipes that out.
Yeah.
Has to have $100,000 in the bank account.
Oh.
I could only dream of having that. We only have maybe about 12 in there right now, not even. So, you know, I could dream of that one. But that's not going to happen.
So the city of Haverhill would only take it over with
those. Right. And you have to have it totally neglected. Now, the way the state realizes totally neglected, I got 20 acres of land. If I cut 1 acre of it, it's not totally neglected. It would have to be totally let go by my board for years. And I'm not going to let that happen because There's not a cemetery in New England I don't drive by that I don't stop at. Or if you're behind me, we were talking about me being a speed demon earlier. You don't want to be behind
you're
me.
You're reading the headstones as you're driving by, aren't you?
You don't want to be behind me in some small New England town that I have traveled in. Joe, Caitlin, and I have traveled most of New Hampshire, except for the most dangerous road in America. That's the only road we got left to travel on,
okay.
And that's 101 West.
Oh.
Other than that, we're done. And one road up north that we got to take an overnight because it's just too far north to do it in a day. But if I see an old graveyard, we're stopping because we want to see who's buried in that graveyard and read some of the epitaphs and stones.
Yeah.
I love graveyards. I'm not giving this up. So we needed more money to come in. So about 4 years ago, I started the New England Parafest. It's been a slow start. This is the first year with the help of you guys, and I got to say this, with the help of Seacoast Sauces, we're in the positive.
Good.
We made money already. We still need to make more money, so we need more ticket sales, but we're in we're going up. We're in the right direction.
All right.
Good. We're it's doing what there. It's supposed to do.
Right. So I'm very excited about this event. So that's why I started this event. And this year, the Hilldale Cemetery Board of Directors just going to try to raise $10,000 for the cemetery. This will be the biggest fundraising year of the year. Mm-hmm. And this is how we're going to kick it off.
Good.
So I really want to see this come in heavy this year because we're going to need to. It's going to take a minimum of $15,000 to $17,000 a year if I pay somebody to cut the lawn. And I have to start looking that way because even
there's so much that you can do.
Right.
Yourself.
And even though we have 200 volunteers coming in April 22nd to help us out, that's only a one-day cleanup.
Oh, that is the help,
that helps
though.
Big time.
Yeah.
But then we got to maintain what's been cleaned up, and we're not getting the same 200 volunteers back. It's Comcast Care Days down there.
Tom, do you have much problem with the vandalism?
We have had it in the past. We just had some vandalism recently.
Really? Hate that.
Oh, yeah. I've been throwing people out of there since I started down there. That used to be somebody's playground, somebody informed me one night down there.
Those are really historical monuments, and they should be protected. They should be respected above all.
Actually, someone tried to break into my home down in the cemetery. I was very upset.
Your home?
He's the crypt keeper.
I'm the crypt keeper.
I mean, you have your own crypt.
I have my own crypt.
Now, that's scary.
I love my crypt.
He spends all his spare time in the crypt.
In the crypt.
I was wondering what that echo was.
Yeah.
In the crypt.
So, all of the money that is made on the Parafest is going to go to help
to
support the Hilldale Cemetery.
Yes.
Which, of course, is, as you mentioned, is a nonprofit.
Correct.
Association.
Nonprofit. Mentioned that many times.
And since it is the Parafest, which is Paranormal Festival, it also just happens to be that the Hilldale Cemetery is haunted.
Yes, it is. We've had full body, partial body apparitions, a head coming out of the ground up on Soldiers Hill.
And I've seen that photo.
You've seen that photo. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty weird.
We've had some shadow figures up near my home playing seek and hide, hide and
so
seek.
So where exactly is your crypt? So
right
up,
right near Hilldale Avenue, right near the street. You walk down. What it was is originally a holding crypt in New England.
Oh,
in the wintertime, they would never bury bodies because of the frost.
Okay.
Today, they bury them, but if you notice, check the prices in the wintertime, check the prices in the summertime. It's a little higher to dig that hole in the wintertime because they got to jackhammer the frost up.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that would be a holding crypt.
So you do keep that secure, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
But it's still secure.
Just your cot, right?
Yeah.
And a cell phone.
You're caught in your cell phone.
Right, exactly. And
okay, so what was vandalized?
We actually had the lock broken, but nothing taken out. It's been fixed. It's been reinforced. It's triple locked now, so.
Good.
And now it's summertime. The security team that's been put in place for the warmer weather will be down there almost every night.
Good.
We do allow paranormal teams in there.
Yes, I've heard that.
Right,
yeah.
But you have to give me a call first and get permission.
Yeah.
And one of my board members or myself would have to be present due to the fact of cemeteries to me. I also work in the nonprofit museum field and love going to museums. Cemeteries to me are open-air museums.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Every stone has a story.
Yeah. Truly.
Every family has a story. Every Civil War soldier, World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, Korea, every soldier we have that died in battle has their own stories. In fact, we do a Civil War tour with Joe Bella.
Oh, nice. That's
my
a
Civil
great
War
idea.
Historian.
Yeah.
Every year for Trails and Sales, which is a free event in September, we just kind of pass that and hope for some donations. But mm-hmm. we do all right. We usually get about 15 to 20 people down there, so it's a fun time.
Good.
And people have fun.
So, okay, this tour thing, though, I just wanted to mention, yeah. they have to get a hold of you, don't yes. they also have to get a hold of the police department?
No, I handle that.
You handle that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All they got to do is get permission from me to be there. Because if I go down there and I have caught teams down there, I throw them out. I just ask them to leave. Right?
And they can get a hold of you on the Essex County Ghost
Project page. Yeah. Page. Or okay. my cell phone. My cell phone's listed right on the map board at the cemetery. And, you know, very easy to find me.
Okay.
Google Tom Spitaleri, Google Essex County, and my cell phone pops right up.
Okay,
and
so how about... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and like any cemetery, don't go in without permission and be respectful.
Right, because some cities and towns will warn you. Mm. You walk into Salem without getting permission and a permit...
You're going to jail.
You're going to jail.
Yeah.
There's no... In Salem, Mass., there's no warning. Zero tolerance. Yeah. Some cities and towns are like that. I don't know about up here on the seacoast because I can't keep
they
track of everybody.
They all handle it differently.
They're all handled differently. So your best bet, if you're listening and you're a paranormal team and you want to go check out an old graveyard, one, be respectful to the dead. Two, be respectful to the stones. Three, don't go in by yourself because if it's in the inner city like Hilldale, I always have...
You can really trip and break your ankles
well,
and whatnot. It's quite dangerous.
Not only
right
that,
now.
It's not the spirits you got to worry about.
It's the living.
It's the living. I found needles in there in the past.
Oh, dear.
I found homeless people. I mean, we're in the inner city of Havel. There's nothing. Yeah. So if you're in, if you're in a small town like Greenland, you might not have that issue. But certainly, I imagine Portsmouth, Salem, Mass., Havel, the big Lawrence even, these bigger cities, definitely. And especially,
don't go barefoot.
Right, especially Hilldale, yeah. because you have the road, then you have nothing, then you have the train tracks where the Downeaster runs,
yeah.
then you have more woods, and then you have another cemetery. And it's a cut-through, so people could used to go play at the old bowling alley on Primrose Street. They used to cut through from Hilldale, so they could go play the bowling in the arcades there.
So you've made that more difficult, I hope?
Yeah.
There's fencing?
Okay. We put some fencing up, but not a whole lot. It's very tough to fence in an area that's so overgrown.
Mm.
I remember being there with you one night on investigation night over in the Pauper's graveyard next door. And all of a sudden, I just see this guy come walking up the hill and walk by. And I said, so I told you about it. And you said, oh, that's just a homeless guy. So, yeah, you know.
In the cemetery at night. So getting back to the hauntings,
yes.
What else can you tell us about hauntings there?
One night, Caitlin and I were walking down First Avenue, which if you drove down the cemetery, take a left on the first road. Road bends back.
Are they all marked and numbered?
No, we will be marked. I know because I've basically lived there.
It'd be nice if they were.
Well, eventually, once the restoration of the stones are done, the restoration of the back property is done, then we will get street signs because we're building a new cemetery, which will be Essex County Ghost Project Lane. A few other names that have been heavily involved in the cemetery will have their own streets named after them. You know, see how big the road gets. There might be, another paranormal team in there with a name. I don't know yet. I'm thinking, because I get to name the roads.
Well, so, being the president, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe, it's nice to have Essex County in there, but Essex County can't be left alone in there. We need some type of spirit chasing to help us chase the spirits in there.
Well, so we've got some ideas on that.
Yeah. So
I could make a suggestion. But, I'll talk to you afterwards.
Right. So anyhow,
the ghosts.
So go down First Ave. We actually heard some voices.
Oh.
Right around the bend.
Okay. What kind of sounds? Men talking?
Could barely make it out as whisper. So, I heard it vaguely. Caitlin has a better ear, so she heard it. And she's more into it than I mean, I channel a lot more than Caitlin does, but she's more into the sight, the picking up of things.
So probably just kind of like mumbling, but no distinct words.
Correct.
Okay.
And I forgot what Karen Mossy got in that area, but someone died in a car down there in the late 70s, early 80s, going to visit. The wife got stuck in a snowstorm. That's the story that was in the paper. someone got an EVP that he actually
killed himself.
Yeah, committed suicide. There's actually an EVP too that he might have been murdered. It's hard to tell with EVPs because when you're in a cemetery, you really don't know if it's coming from the driver of the car or someone that's buried near there and there's stones. Mm. There's over 4,820 burials in Hilldale.
Over 4,000.
And some of the stones have to be repaired. We just try to get the money up to do it. It's all about money. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, it's $15,000 a year, roughly, just to cut the lawn. Yeah. That doesn't mean cutting down the trees we still got to cut down, or the woods that we still got in the back left, right-hand side.
The soldier section, the Civil War section, yes. That's in pretty good condition, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, the front of the hill is in great shape. The back of the hill still needs a lot of work. Not as bad as it was 3 years ago, but still needs work.
And we just, so it's walkable so that you can go up there and have some some investigations there, right?
Yeah, you just can't walk the back of the hill.
Okay. So what have you detected there on
Well, we got the head coming out of the ground. I've channeled plenty of soldiers from World War II down.
Did you get a Civil War soldier? I thought you had.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did over there. And we got one coming out of the ground. He's actually from Lawrence. William White, Joe?
John White.
Okay, John White. Someone caught his head coming out of the ground. That's the picture you saw.
Oh, that's supposed to be John
actually,
White, or at least that's his grave.
A name for the head, huh?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's very rarely can we get a name. It just happened to be the head was coming right out of the ground where that gravestone was. So,
oh, that is amazing.
You know, it's probably a safe paranormal assumption
that
we know who that one is.
But as definite as the evidence gets.
Right. We've also caught a lady with a wedding gown running up the main road.
Really?
No cameras on that one. Main road of the cemetery, yeah. And one night, a couple of years back, I fell asleep down there.
Uh-oh.
Happens a lot down there.
You're getting better, though, aren't you?
I'm getting better, yeah. All of a sudden, there's a knock on my window.
Oh, you fell asleep in your car.
Yeah. I thought it was Havel Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, checking up on me because they like what I do down there. That helps them out. See, when you have a private cemetery, you can't always go to the local police department and say, there's drugs coming through the cemetery. No fooling. They're coming down the tracks from Maine, coming into the cemetery. You got to step up as a board, we had to step up. I mean, the police come down when I call them, and they're very efficient in Havel. They do show up. Good. As soon as I make the call, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have them patrolling private cemeteries. They just don't have the manpower in Havel. They're down.
Okay, so he knocked on the window, and what happened?
I looked. I thought it was a cop. It wasn't. It was two shadow figures, and they were waving at me.
Aw, come on.
Yeah. And then about a little while later, I saw him. Now, you know where I parked the car. You know where I give my talk. Mm. So it's down below. There's a big hill up like this. I looked up on the hill. Shortly after that, there were two shadow figures, like two kids racing. Or two shadow figures racing each other.
Do you think it was two kids that knocked on your window?
Could have been. They were short.
How tall did they seem to be?
Well, their face was, I was back like this, so when I turned around, we were face level.
But, that sounds like a kid.
Wasn't definitely an adult, because an adult, you're obviously going to be with your head down.
Yeah.
So it was obviously a kid, and then I saw two shadow figures like racing each other on that hill.
So you're sure the ones that knocked on the window were not live
people? Yes.
Yes,
I'm sure of that.
They were shadow figures.
They were shadow figures.
I mean, I don't understand how you don't have a heart attack out of a
dead sleep
and then to see something like
that. I'm used to it. I don't really sleep solid like a lot of people do. If I get 4 hours of sleep a night, I'm lucky because my brain's always going.
Okay.
I think better at night. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up with a great idea than I do it.
You think better when you sleep than you do when you're awake, huh?
And then it wakes me up and go, oh, that's a great idea. Let's run with it. That's how I came up with New England Parafest. 2 a.m, I woke up with the idea.
Well, it's paying off.
Yes, and we're very happy, and I'm very happy to have you guys helping us out with this, because this is huge.
And this is going to be a good year.
Yes, good year. It's already starting off a good year. And even though, you know, we're moving along, I'm getting some great feedback in the Seacoast area.
Good.
From talking to people, so.
Good.
Yeah, this, of course, will be the
first year in
Kittery, you know, and I think it's going to be a good location.
A beautiful location.
And hopefully it's going to be a home
for this.
For the Parafest,
yeah.
That would be nice.
For years.
Yeah, because this is a great location. I got to thank Lynn publicly for this because she was the one that found this
That's
location.
That's right. That's right.
It was Lynn.
My pleasure.
It was Lynn, and the people at the Kittery Center are a great, great group of people over there.
They're very helpful.
Very helpful. Every time I call down there, always nice. They know me by name now, so.
Oh, it's him again. So, and it is a beautiful building, too, and it's really nice room that we have for the Parafest.
It's a beautiful old school. It isn't that
and
old,
and actually, we got some good news today. I don't have their names, but my team psychic, Angie Donju, who's been a psychic for many, many years.
She's been a practicing psychic for
many, many years. She's bringing two women from Ireland over.
That fascinates
And I
me.
Just forgot. And she's going to pick them up at the airport, and I asked her to text me the names.
Because Angie's the psychic, and she's going to have a table set up, and she's going to do readings in 10-minute increments.
Yes.
So all you have to do is between speakers or something to sign up, and then Angie.
And they're
going to
do the readings, too. They're going to have three readers now.
Oh, good. So going to be the two Irish women.
Two Irish women. And
then
Angie.
Wonderful.
And we do need to mention that the readings are an extra fee.
Correct.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So that's going to be great. I can't wait. This is going to be awesome, bringing these people. They're coming in from Ireland. It was nice that they came to the Parafest this year.
So did they fly over here specifically for us?
They're actually doing. I wish, but no. They're actually doing some other events, and they just happen to be working with the Loving Life Expo. And
even though
Angie is my team psychic, she is the Loving Life Expo too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do a lot of we wear a lot of different hats on my team. I got historians, I got former members that have a list of boards that they serve on that would make most people go, "How do you have time to do it all?"
Yeah, how do you have time?
I mean, I serve on a lot of things myself, and, you know, I'm very active, and I have a lot of community activists
around
me.
Well, probably most of them don't sleep, just like you.
Right. And I keep a lot of community activists around because that's the way I've always worked my team. And we've added a length of cases now. I mean, since I last been here a year ago, we actually, right before Christmas, we ended and I always forget the town, so up near Lake Winnipesaukee, as I start talking about it, I'll get it. It was a private restaurant. Here comes my right-hand person. New Hampshire, where were we right before Christmas?
What do you mean?
He's asking you.
The case we did right before Christmas.
Caitlin.
No, that was afterwards. New Hampshire.
Christmas.
Yeah, up near Lake Winnipesaukee.
Oh, Center Harbor.
Center Harbor, New Hampshire. We rode all the way up to Center Harbor in the first snowstorm of the year on a Monday to investigate a restaurant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The roads were icy. There were cars off of 93 all over the place. It was me, Angie, and Caitlin, but we went. We helped those people out. We were out of there by 7, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we went for dinner and came home. And by the time we're heading home, the roads were great. But in the morning, they were a beaut, let me tell you.
So that was just one of your investigative teams that did that.
Yeah.
And did Angie go in that one?
Angie, myself, and Caitlin. And then I had Rocky Morrison from another group come up and help me out.
All right.
Well, Tom, we're reaching the bottom of the hour.
Oh, wow.
What we want to do is we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the each individual guest and give an idea of what they're specializing in, what books they've written and so forth. So we're talking to Tom Spitaleri from Essex County Ghost Project, and we'll be back in just a moment.
So let's see. How about some upcoming guests?
Okay. Next week, on the 22nd, we're welcoming Varla Ventura, and she's written several books on little oddities and so forth. This one is going to be on fairies, gnomes, gremlins, goblins. Following that, on the 29th, of course, is the Parafest, and we're going to have several of the speakers on the radio show. No.
No, that's the night of the saucer symposium.
The symposium. You know what? We don't have that date booked.
we're taking that night off because of
that's
the Parafest.
Right. All right, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
Okay, going on to the 6th of May, we're welcoming Jim Harold, and he's got his own paranormal radio talk show, and he's also an author. So we're going to be talking a little bit of both about his books as well as his radio show. And for the time being, that wraps up our guest list.
All right. And a good guest list it is. And a good guest it is tonight.
Ditto.
Tom Spitalivi from Essex County Ghost Project. Welcome back, Tom.
Welcome back,
Thank you.
And your entourage, your silent entourage behind you.
Yes, I know. I know. The gallery is over there. Why don't we first just kind of give a list of the speakers, and then we can talk a little bit about it.
All
How does
right.
that sound? So we, okay.
Sure, go right ahead.
We have Jeremy D'Entremont, who is a local expert on lighthouses and hauntings. Ronnie LeBlanc, who has written the book Monsterland. Seacoast Saucers of New England, a local UFO encounters support group. Paul and Ben Eno are coming all the way up from Rhode Island. And the Connecticut Paranormal Research Team is coming up from Connecticut to join us. And then we have Shane Sawa, who is also a paranormal investigator with a very different method of investigating. Approach, yeah. Right. And finally, Tom D'Agostino and Arlene Nicholson, authors of many books, and they're going to be talking about vampires. So that's the list.
All right, then. Why don't we, we're going to highlight each of these speakers here. The first one on the list, of course, is Jeremy D'Entremont. And Jeremy is local. And his website is newenglandlighthouses.net. And he's been called the leading expert on New England's historic lighthouses. And he's the author or co-author of more than 10 books. And Jeremy's the historian for the American Lighthouse Foundation, and he's also the founder of Friends of Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouses. And he's appeared on several TV shows and radio shows, and we're pleased to have him on. And in addition to talking about the history of the lighthouses, he'll be talking about their ghosts as well. And our second guest is going to be Ronnie LeBlanc, and you take
right.
it away.
And, you know, Jeremy is always...
He was a delightful guest.
Yeah, he's always a great guest. He's so knowledgeable about the lighthouses and everything, and everybody loves to listen to Jeremy. But
right.
then after Jeremy, we have author Ronnie LeBlanc. He's written the book Monsterland, Encounters with UFOs, Bigfoot, and Orange Orbs. Ronnie's always, you know, he's had an interest in paranormal and the strange ever since he was just a little kid. And
he used to play in the Leominster State Forest. That's right. The place was really creepy when he was a kid.
That's right. The Leominster State Forest in Massachusetts in a section called Monsterland, which mm-hmm. is where the name of the book came from. And he used to play there as a kid, and he's, you know, always had this fascination with the paranormal and Bigfoot. And so he started, you know, researching and talking to people and was coming up with a lot of stories about Bigfoot and such. Some people think that Bigfoot is basically, you know, like Washington State, Oregon out there, but Bigfoot,
he's here.
It's all over.
Yes, and there are many sightings in even Maine.
Yeah, even in Maine, yeah.
Yeah, the people really are not aware of.
Massachusetts, right, all over. So anyway, you know, Ronnie actually appeared on one of the early episodes, I think it was season 2 of the hit series Finding Bigfoot.
Mm.
And he has written this book on the Leominster State Forest and the UFOs, Bigfoot, Orange Orbs. And it's a very, very fascinating subject.
Yeah, it's a cool book.
And yeah, and Ronnie's a great guy, and he's going to be joining us too.
All right, followed by Seacoast Saucers of New England. And their three main pivotal people are Mike Stevens, Chuck Credo, and Val LaFazzo. And I got a little quick bio here for all of them. Mike Stevens is an experiencer. He's had some encounters with aliens and UFOs. And being that he's had direct contact. He's a good one to talk to and to bounce ideas off of. Val LaFazzo, first of all, she's a mom, but vying for second place is her talent as a psychic medium and a writer of young adult books. And she's published 3 books to date, and she's working on a 4th. And as investigators, Willie and I have called on Val for her input on several occasions, and it's always been invaluable. And let me see, Chuck Credo. He's a social worker. And personally, I'd like to say this about Chuck in his presentations, that if he were a detective on a police force, his questioning strategies would corner and compel any criminal to confess. Because he's got these great methods to, he's got these tools to get to the crux of the matter, which really is important when you're listening to or you're counseling people that have had these strange experiences. So he's excellent for the job. So the motto for Seacoast Saucers is, we are here to help and you are not alone. And what they do is they steadily work on creative campaigns to change the social stigma of the topic into a global reality through support, education, and awareness. So that's Seacoast Saucers of New England. So that's our third speaker.
Okay, and some good friends of mine, actually friends of ours. I originally met these people about 5 years ago out at the Shanley Hotel in New York.
And, oh, yeah.
They would be Dan and Christine Peer from the Connecticut Paranormal Research Team out of Moosup, Connecticut.
Noosup?
Moosup.
Moosup?
Moo with an M. Moosup, Connecticut.
What'd they do, run out of words? They had to make up a couple?
I don't know. But anyways, that's where they're from. And they're also going to be joined by Kim Chalecki. And Christine,
I haven't met, have you?
No, I have not met Kim yet, no. Christine's been in the paranormal for over 25 years, and they both actually have appeared on numerous radio and TV shows all over New England. They use a scientific approach, and they have great stories of their investigations. And they also have something a little bit different, which is called CTPRT Live, which is a service. Is what they do is it's to help promote other teams during joint investigations. They go out with their filming equipment and film and live on the air as the investigation is going on.
That's really
so
cool.
It is. They've done a few out at the Shanley Hotel. The first one, however, they did, it wasn't actually live, but it was at an event that I sponsored, actually. Out at the West Virginia Penitentiary in Moundsville.
Yeah. Creepy and, place.
Yeah, it was fun though. There was 3 teams: Spirit Chasers Paranormal, Connecticut Paranormal Research Team, and West Virginia Paranormal Investigators. 3 teams were all locked into the prison from midnight to 6 a.m. and we caught the whole thing on film, and that can be found at their website. We should probably be giving out their websites. Theirs is ConnecticutParanormal.com.
And I'm not sure what Seacoast Saucers of New England is.
It's
.com,
it is SeacoastSaucers.com.
I think it's SeacoastSaucersofNewEngland.com, isn't it?
I think the website is actually just Seacoast Saucers, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Well, they do have a page on Facebook.
Yeah.
About done.
Oh, and Ronnie LeBlanc is ronnieleblanc.com.
Okay, good, good. let me see, moving on to the next, that would be Paul and Ben Eno. They've become very good friends of ours. They are hosts, radio show hosts of Behind the Paranormal. And actually, they've just come out with another book. Paul's got several, but this one is co-authored by both of them. The title is Behind the Paranormal, Everything You Know Is Wrong. And what it is sort of a compilation of different scripts from their radio show. They've had the show for many years. And at one point, they were televised or broadcast by CBS. But anyway, Paul has 46 years of research, and he's an award-winning journalist and a best-selling author. And his son has been tagging along with him for about 13 years doing different investigations. And one of Paul's claims to fame, in addition to his books, he investigated the Lindley Street exorcism. Lindley Street. It was, anyway, an exorcism. It was, well...
He investigated along with...
Bill Hall, William Hall. Yeah. And, of course, William wrote the book on the most haunted house, the world's most haunted house.
The world's most haunted house, right.
But I forgot the name of the family. But anyway, Paul was there to lend first-hand assistance. So that was the beginning of his career.
What I was trying to think of is he investigated there with Ed and Lorraine Warren.
That's right. He did, yeah.
That's the names I was trying to think of.
And what is really neat about Paul's cover is it's behind the paranormal, and part of the title is written backwards. It's very cool. So it makes you think twice. And Paul's topics is multiverses, and I was going to get into an example of that, but I don't think we're going to have enough time now. But fascinating subject, and generally speaking, he kind of focuses on multiverses and a lot of other strange stuff. That about wraps up Paul and Ben, I think.
Oh, okay.
They're very interesting.
And another speaker we have is Shane Sawa. Let's see. Well, his website is trueghost.com. Shane has been helping families all over for about over 25 years. He has a very unique approach to the paranormal. He had an experience himself when he was very young. He was sick in the hospital and almost didn't survive.
Yeah, he almost died as a child.
Yeah. And so ever since then, he's dedicated his life to understanding what he calls the mechanics for haunting. His belief that in order to help people to understand what a haunting is to rid them of what he refers to as parasites. You first have to treat the individual. Uses what he refers to as reverse engineering a haunt.
He tries to get inside the head of the people that are being afflicted.
Right. He tries to treat the people.
Right. To change
their attitude towards what is going on.
It's a very unique approach.
Yeah, it's a very unique approach, and he's very, very interesting.
He's very successful at it.
Yeah, he says he has 100% success rate, but he's a very interesting speaker.
Yes, he'll have a lot of interesting things to add. He and Paul and Ben are all very good friends.
They are. Yeah,
they investigate together, so they have similar philosophies on that.
Yeah, and they've been together doing some... Bigfoot investigation.
They have in Pennsylvania or something?
Out in Pennsylvania, yeah. So they may just be talking about that, too.
Yes, I hope so. I hope they have some new information on that. And let me see. Our next speakers would be Tom D'Agostino and his wife, Arlene Nicholson. And Tom has written to date, 12 books. He's working on two more. He's working on two simultaneously, and he writes about ghost investigations, abandoned ghost towns, various spots in New England. He just came out with Haunted Rhode Island, but he also came out with The History of Vampirism in New England. That is his latest, and it is to be followed by two more books. And he will be focusing on vampirism at the... at the Parafest, and not too many people talk about that, but there really is some history behind it, and I'm almost positive he's spoken about this before, but I believe he concentrated on the Tillinghasts of Exeter, Rhode Island, and it was a family of several children, and the children started dying, and the first one that had died was Sarah. And she came back, and she seemed to keep coming into the dreams of the other children, and then they would die. So this is supposed to be one of the first recorded examples of vampirism in Rhode Island. And I think that about wraps it up. He just came out with this book, so I haven't got a full background on the history of the vampirism. But that did happen in Rhode Island, in Exeter, Rhode Island, of all places, in 1799.
So anyway, we a great lineup of speakers.
Yes.
All sorts of interesting topics. And hey, Tom's still here.
He
didn't leave.
Yeah, we didn't mean to cut him out.
That's all right.
He's been sitting over
Shane
there
actually
quietly.
Worked on a case with us, with Willie, and we had three teams at this house, two houses in Haverhill, where Shane actually helped me out on this on a case.
Was this a subsequent visit to where we had already
yes.
been?
Yeah.
And how did that work out?
That worked out well. It resolved itself.
Really? Good. Yeah. Good. That's a happy ending.
And Tom and Eileen, I've known before I even started Essex County Ghost Project. He wrote a great story about Mercy Brown, too, the vampire.
He did. I don't remember the story, but I just remember seeing the title again tonight.
So that was, you know, it's going to be a great lineup. I'm very excited. And, you know, come down, get the tickets. It goes to a great cause, the Hilldale Cemetery. You know, and if you come to the Parafest and you sign up and you buy some tickets, I'll give you a free tour of the cemetery over the summer.
Oh, that would be cool. That's really nice.
So, you know, you're getting a lot out of this.
Yeah.
That way you get to see what's going on down at the cemetery, because if you're coming from up this way and you're thinking, oh, cemetery, you Google it, you see all the...
It's not difficult to get to, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, it's real easy to get to. If you know where Haverhill High School is, it's right down the street.
Even if you don't know where Haverhill High School is, it's still
right
easy to get to.
Yeah. And it's one of the easiest. It's right up, it's nearly off the highway. It's only a couple blocks
away. Are there any notable people that we might know that are buried there?
No. I mean, they're notable small time for like fighting in the Civil War, but as far as some real huge names. We have no former presidents, no. We have a couple people that, you know, were in prison in Andersonville, you know, but no real big. That's one of the problems with trying to get people to the ghost hunts, too, is we don't have that former president, that big general, you know, that everybody wants. We have old colonial New England names.
Yeah, and a lot of beautiful monuments.
And a lot of beautiful monuments, but we don't have that real big.
You don't have the draw, huh?
Right.
Yeah, high public profile.
Right. We don't have that public not yet, at least. You never know what you're going to find as we continue our research in there.
Well, it's like one of those cemeteries that they used to go and have lunches at because it was so darn pretty.
Right.
You know, all those big trees and the squared off levels of the mound.
We lost a couple of those this winter up on what we call Hangman's Hill.
Some
of the trees, yeah.
So was someone hung?
Well, one of my early psychics, Debbie O'Leary from originally Pelham Paranormal Research, she picked up someone, and I've channeled the thing over there up on this hill where somebody was hung. It was also a Native American encampment up there, too.
Oh, really?
So, you know, the history of that cemetery is great, and the land, I should say.
So do you suppose the person that was hung, or even if there were several people, it probably happened before 1859?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wasn't hung when the cemetery. This is when it was open land. We do have the Bean family in there. I mean,
and?
Descendants of the hanging judge from Texas, Bean.
No kidding.
But he's not in there. We just have
his relatives.
Descendants in there, yes. We have a lot of them in there.
Oh, that's notable. That's interesting.
Yeah. But other than that, no. We don't have anything that really. No five-star generals.
That's okay. Does anything else stick out in your mind about investigations?
The crypt, we've had some EVPs. Karen Mossy caught a long EVP in the area, and we all know who Karen is. If you've listened, I know Karen's been on here before.
Yeah, she's
spooky,
been on
creepy,
a
New England 1 and 2. She caught a long EVP in the area where that guy supposedly, we're not sure what happened, but died in the car.
Oh, that's right. And Karen Mossy, she's the one who collected the EVP of her father saying, I love you, and it was used in the movie White Noise.
White Noise.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So she's
in the trailer. So, and it was also used on another show, too, and I just get...
What else?
Ghost Whisperer.
Oh, Ghost Whisperer, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, and, you know, so, I mean, we've had some relatively notable names down there. From all over the area investigate.
Yeah.
We had a group that came down, helped us out during our big events in September. Local group up this way called Spirit Chasers. Mm-hmm. I know you guys got something over there. You must
I've heard of them.
Yeah, I think I've heard of them. Yeah.
we've had other investigators in there, too, through the years. So it's a fun place to investigate. We leave with the respect. The lady in white up on the back end of Hangman's Hill. I mean, you never know what you're going to get. Some nights we go in there, pardon the pun, it's deader than a doornail. And other nights we walk in there, it's extremely active.
Let me ask you, the Hannah Duston Museum, the Hannah Duston House, there had been several Indian attacks.
In Havel, correct.
Yeah. So do you think any of the people from those massacres wound up in that cemetery? Probably not, because it was too rich.
First of all, the attacks that took place were below the cemetery.
Oh.
They were closer to the river. And then the Hannah Duston attack,
that was
320 years ago, was up past the cemetery.
Okay.
And they just hit the top end of Havel pretty much on the Plastow-Havel line and then retreated back into what today we call New Hampshire. And that was 320 years ago. In fact, April 30th will be 320 years ago she came home from her captivity.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you just had the anniversary of the Hannah Duston House, right?
Yeah.
Because you're also on the board of the
directors at the Duston Garrison House, yes. I wear many hats.
You're a busy guy, Tom.
I try to be. It's fun.
Now, you've got a lecture coming up, don't you?
I do.
A history lecture.
I do for the James House. We're going to be doing it at the Lane Public Library Wednesday night.
And the donations are going to the James House, or is it for free?
No, it's got to be for free because it's at the public. Anything you do at a public library, you cannot pass a hat even. But, you know, it's going to put the James House on the map. It's going to help out.
Yeah, he's referring to the James House Museum in Hampton, New Hampshire.
Hampton, New Hampshire, right. Yes. Sorry about that, Willie. We went there, and Willie invited us to go down, and then I met this great guy named Skip.
Mm-hmm.
And Skip and I talk 2 to 3 times a week now.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. All about the history. Mm-hmm. And then I was just going to do the French Indian. I was going to do what would have been 6 different talks in one night put together as one. Now we're going to put a 7th one in on this one.
Well, what's the topic then?
The topic's the French Indian War, okay. King Philip, King George's, King William and Mary, and the Seven Years' War. Hmm. We're also going to add Hannah Duston in, where she belongs in the timeline, and Robert Rogers, who, thanks to his breaking of the back of the French Indians at St. Francis, was able to send the British up to Quebec to sack Quebec and end the French Indian War. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about the town of Hampton's French Indian War history. I'm still just about almost done going through the town history on that one. Oh. And let me tell you, it was a little more interesting than I thought it was going to be for a small town back then.
A little more, did you say?
Yes. Actually, I should say a lot more. So we'll be adding that into the talk, too. It was originally started as a general overlay of the time period with Robert Rogers and Hannah Duston. And it's grown into this, what could be a 6-hour talk, be done in 1 hour. So this is history in the making going to happen Wednesday night at the Lane Library.
And that is at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Yep. On next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, the 19th, yes.
Okay. An hour and a half?
Yeah.
You're a star.
I try to. I don't try to be. I just try to help people out. I want to educate people. The F&I War, I've done a lot of research on. It's one of my favorite time periods in history.
And can you give a hint whether or not the James family was involved in any of this?
I'm not sure yet.
You haven't
I'm still
seen the
looking
names
through
come
the regiment list.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully by then I will have that done. I've got some big plans for this talk. Mm-hmm. This will not be a typical history lecture. If you're coming to see a PowerPoint presentation, I'm going to warn you right now. You're not getting a PowerPoint presentation. I don't do PowerPoints. I use photographs. I use books, posters, and all different things from the time period. Postcards showing the Fort William and Mary, documents. That's what I use.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a PowerPoint from me.
There was a Captain Edmund James, but I don't know if he was naval. Or I don't know what branch of the service he was in. But keep that in mind.
I'll keep that in mind. I plan on looking up the James House to see what else I could find on that. Anyhow, I just got to get through the next 4 or 5 pages of the war, and then we'll get to the James House. That'll be done tomorrow.
All right.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Okay.
No, thank you guys. I appreciate the help with this Parafest. This has been an awesome year, and we're looking forward to next year because next year we'll make some more big announcements.
Oh, yeah.
But we got to get through this year first.
That's right. 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
And 1 hour at a time.
Yeah, 1 hour at a time.
Which is almost over. which actually is over.
So talk quick.
So that is Saturday, April 29th at the Kittery Community Center in Kittery, Maine. And it's all going to a good cause. So thank you, Tom, for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank
pleasure,
you for
Tom.
All your help.
Thank you. And Tom's entourage.
And yeah. Yes, thank you, Caitlin and Joe. All right. Hey, you know what? That's the end of Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. Craig Mosier and the Graveyard Shift is coming right up. And I still say that is so fitting, the Graveyard Shift coming up right after the...
Spirit Radio, yep.
And after the Gatekeeper leaves.
That's right, the Crypt Keeper.
The Crypt Keeper.
The Crypt Keeper. Yeah. And thanks, everyone, for listening. You have a good evening.
We'll talk to you next week.
In this one of many possible worlds, all for the best, or some bizarre test. It is what it is, and whatever. Time is still the infinite jest. The arrow flies when you dream. The hours tick away, the cells tick away. The watchmaker keeps to his schemes. The hours tick away, they tick away. The measure of a life is a measure of love and respect. So hard to earn, so easily.